Film.
And Furious.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Film and Furious. This is a podcast I've wanted to do for a few years now. I'm a Cineworld Unlimited cardholder, and I'll basically go to the cinema every chance I can get. Obviously, COVID's put a massive stop to that in the past 12 to 18 months. But one thing I've noticed is when I do watch films, I seem to come out of the cinema and I'm usually angry about something. So I've decided this is the place that I'm going to vent that frustration. Now, due to the nature of this podcast, there's bound to be some unavoidable spoilers. So if you've not seen this film yet, hit pause right now and come back when you've seen it. Unless you're not bothered about spoilers, then feel free to carry on. Okay, Fast and Furious 9. This was released in the UK in June 2021. And this is the angriest I've been in quite a while. Even though it's been a while since I've seen many films at the cinema. But this really spurred me to get this podcast off the ground. Now, the Fast and Furious franchise started with a pretty decent film back in 2001. It was that sort of film, and it kind of reminded me of like Point Break movie, where you had an undercover cop trying to infiltrate a gang of bad guys. Except instead of skydiving, this one was based on fast cars. No problem with that whatsoever. But the franchise has just turned into like the wet dream of my prepubescent nephews who like to play with toy cars. I say play with toy cars. Like to just destroy toy cars. Now, don't get me wrong. I love an action movie. I love wild, outrageous stunts. But there are four things that really made me angry in this film. Oh, first one, Dom. And he does a Tarzan swing across a gorge. I mean, what the hell were they thinking? And it's not the first time they've done this. Where they drive the car over some sort of cable or rope. And you're supposed to believe that he knew that car 100% was going to latch onto that cable. And he knew 100% that the car would get hooked up on this flimsy remaining rope bridge rope. Even though we've just seen another car go across that rope bridge and the rope bridge snapped under the weight of a much lighter car. Anyway, this single remaining rope will not only support his massive muscle car, but also it's at the perfect angle and speed to land him on the other side of the gorge on a dirt road. What would definitely happen is he would do some sort of Wile E. Coyote face plant into the side of the cliff. And just before we see this happen, we also see this magnet car grabbing drone. Although we don't know it's a drone until the end of the film. It just looks like an airplane that's got magnets. And it comes in with incredible timing to catch this car with magnets. Now, I'm happy to let this one slide. But on the subject of magnets, they feature quite a lot in the film. They've completely ignored real-world physics and science, especially when they mounted the magnets on the cars. Now, are magnets attracting both directions? Are we supposed to believe that as they're driving along, they turn these magnets on and it starts pulling all these other vehicles and metallic objects from the sidewalk, and it starts pulling them across the street, but it's not pulling them towards the sidewalk into those vehicles? There's an equal and opposite attraction and force in play. Now, you could say, oh, he must be steering heavily to one side to counteract that. But the weight of the stuff they're hurtling across the road, I don't believe that their car is going to outweigh that, or the speed is going to make any effect on that. Then they also will use the magnets to latch onto some of the other vehicles, including some of the bad guy vehicles. Okay, great. But then they switch the polarity of the magnet and these vehicles just shoot off. They just fly off. They're being repelled. Everybody knows you need two magnets face to face, positive to positive, or negative to negative, or north, north, south, south, whichever way you want to read a magnet. You need two magnets to repel. One magnet, if I walk up to my car with a magnet and stick it to the door, first of all, it probably won't stick because it's not metal, but let's pretend it's metal. I walk up to my car with a magnet and I stick it to the door. Great, it's stuck. I pull the magnet off. I turn it round. As I hold it against the door again, does it push my hand away? No. Does it push the car away? No. It sticks to the door. You need two magnets to repel. Just didn't make sense. That really annoyed me. It's basic primary school science just failed right there. Okay, number three. When they flip the massive truck onto its roof and it keeps sliding for about 2 minutes, it's like there's no signs of friction or deceleration. And it's worse than the time they chased the aircraft down the runway in Fast and Furious 6 for like 10 minutes. I mean, how long did that runway have to be for that length of action to happen? And it was just like, oh my God, why is this truck not slowing down? It's crashing into things. It's sliding on its roof. It's not ice on ice. It's concrete and metal. And God. And number four, all I'm going to say is cars in space. Cars in space, manned by two guys in diving suits. I mean, oh my God, where are they going to take the franchise next? Is it going to be like Dom versus the Aliens or a mission for Elon Musk? Because we all know Mars needs more muscle cars, doesn't it? God, anyway, that was the big four things. That was just cheese. Oh, it stunk. And one last point. Brian. I was actually only slightly annoyed that they're trying to keep the Brian character alive. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Paul Walker.
If you want to hear more Film and Furious movie reviews, don't forget to subscribe and check out my other podcast, Theory of Conspiracy. Thanks for listening.